Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, we want to give a shout-out to our pal Nate Jackson, who wrote a piece for DenverFan.com about the Broncos players, some of them choosing to opt out of the voluntary workouts, and it got picked up by Peter King in his Football Morning in America column, and let me read from it. One of the most thoughtful ex-players there is, Nate Jackson, with why off-season practices are important and why he disagrees with the NFLPA urging players to skip voluntary workouts, writing for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Quote, Nate Jackson, remember that time the United States Marines told their soldiers to just train on their own and show up a few weeks before they headed off to war? Yeah, me neither. Here is just a plain and simple fact of football. If you want to be special, you train with your teammates in the off-season. You push each other daily. You run, you lift, you sweat, all without the coaches around. That's where you actually grow to trust each other. One of the union's main arguments is that phase one and phase two of the offseason program are unnecessary because there are no coaches around. Whoever crafted that talking point has never played football. You think that coaches need to be around to come together as a team? You know what happens with a minute 39 left on the clock and no timeouts, down 6 points? It ain't coaching that brings you down the field for the go-ahead score. It's phase one and phase two of the offseason program. It's the connection, the unspoken bond that supersedes coaching and elevates 11 humans in a football moment. Nate, right?
Oh, he's 100% right. I mean, dude, I am sorry, but if you had to ask a coach to go out and make a play and be standing in a puddle of piss. I mean, that, like, I said many times to our football team in just players only meetings. This is not Mike Shanahan's team or Pat Bowlen's team. It's our team. How committed are we to one another? That's what's special about football, man. It's what's special about sports. When you care more about the guy that plays beside you than you care for your own well-being, that's what makes you special. And there's very few places, and I say this all the time, show me a place in any walk of life where you celebrate somebody else's success like it's your own. And I don't know many other places that happens other than the sporting world. When Jalen Hurts gets benched, and he knows he'll never play in Alabama football again, or Alabama again, and Tua Tagovailoa drives that team down after halftime for the opening score of the third quarter, and the first guy to greet him on the field is Jalen Hurts? Come on. 99.99% of you would be sitting on the bench sulking.
I'm never going to play again. Oh, woe is me.
No, this guy is out celebrating with his teammates, full well knowing he's going to have to transfer if he ever wants to play football again. Dude, that to me is what makes it so damn special. And that's why, you know, that's why, hey, man, I cut my teeth in Washington. Joe Gibbs used to say, hey, you don't have to live here in the offseason. And, of course, unless you want to make the team. It's not mandatory. But you won't make the team if you don't live here. So, I mean, you make the – it's on you now. That's your choice.
Boy, that Jalen Hurts scenario. You're right. If that happened to me, I'd be over there on the bench. I'd be pouting. I'd be crying. I'd be doing the full Paxton. Is that smear campaign extending worthy?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. You weigh in. Benny weighed in. Judges say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Strong.
Although it was a vicious, vicious ankle.
Day number 21. You said 85. I thought we hit 86 on Friday. 87. Day number 21, 87.
They all run together eventually, babe.
It marches on.
Yeah.
Like time. All right, so I'm going to trust you. And that's kind of what Peter King said. He said the same thing in reaction to what Nate wrote. He said, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I do know that Jackson played the game and opines on it well, and he absolutely is not a rah-rah football right or wrong guy. Because I could see some people saying, oh, that's just, you're just kind of pumping up the mystique of the football is an autumn wind, you know, the gridiron glory and all that kind of stuff. But you're saying it's,
I understand.
It's legit.
Like, I understand that, but man, it does matter when you live together and you work out. You know what? When you suffer some sort of misery together, right?
Right. Yeah, you bond through that. Yeah.
Right. There is a bonding aspect to that. And it just basically says, I'm not going to quit on you.
So since it is now draft week, I figured now was the opportune time to unveil my big board of possibilities. You notice I have been.
Did you put a big board of possibilities up?
I gave Richie the list, and so it'll be up there later today, but I'm going to give you a sneak preview of what's going up on the Bebop under my name. And I'll do that next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. We have the terrific artwork put together by Richie Carney.
Yes.
Which includes the big board of possibilities, and that is all of the hosts here put up their draft wish list. Now, unlike the Cecils and Drotars and Marilettes, and especially D-Max of the world, who literally change his mind every single day, and really, how can you build any kind of credibility when you are literally changing your mind every other day? I sat back. I waited. I was patient.
Mm-hmm.
Did my studying.
Yes, you're like a cat stalking its prey.
Read the tea leaves.
Yes.
And waited until actual draft week to put together my big board of possibilities.
Okay.
Here it is. You have not seen this yet.
I have not.
So it'll be up on the board later. I gave it to Richie yesterday. He has not had time to come in here with his arts and crafts materials to put this all together. But so this is what I'm going with. This is my number one choice. My number one. These are in order of preference, okay?
Uh-huh.
So my first is Micah Parsons.
Okay.
You know how much I want a linebacker.
Yeah, I wanted
a linebacker for years.
Yeah.
I still want a linebacker. I want one of them. I want one of them Levante David, Devin White types. I want one.
Yes.
So Micah Parsons is number one for me. Then I'm really hoping that everybody overdrafts quarterbacks so that Rashawn Slater drops down to the Broncos at number nine. Being able to go out and get a stud tackle.
Okay, I like that.
Bookend with Garrett Bowles. That way you can move on from Juwan James and all the uncertainty and distrust that you have when it comes to him. Go get yourself a stud tackle. Patrick Surtain.
Okay.
My third choice.
Yeah.
Look, you live in a division with Mahomes, Herbert, Derek Carr. Yeah, you have a good secondary right now, but they're all on 1 year deals. I love Alabama guys too. Number four on my big board of possibilities. Kyle Trask. Yes. They do need to draft a quarterback. Yes. They do need to draft a quarterback to compete with Drew Lock. Why does it have to be a quarterback at number nine? Go get your khaki pants quarterback. I guarantee you with every fiber of my being, if you switch Kyle Trask and Mac Jones, and Kyle Trask spent this last year at Alabama, Kyle Trask would be the guy that would have put up all the numbers, won all the games, won a national championship, and would be talked about going in the top 10. If they do not take Kyle Trask in the in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Mond in the third round.
Think he's going to make it to the third round? Big athletic kid.
My point being, if
what?
Get your quarterback, my preference is Trask. If you're not going to get Trask, go get Kellen Mond. And then my sixth guy on the board, back to the linebacker again. Maybe this is one that if you trade back, accumulate more picks, you could still get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker from Notre Dame. So I got two linebackers, two quarterbacks, a tackle, and a cornerback.
They can't take that kid from Notre Dame.
Why not?
They already got Okwuegbunam.
Look at you! Nailed it! First try!
And then they got, what's his name?
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Very simple.
Owusu-Koramoah.
They got too many hard names. That one's pretty easy.
Ojemudia.
Yeah.
Why do they corner the market on tough names?
See, you're just thinking you might get a Bronco game and you're worried about having to spend extra time studying.
Yes.
Don't worry, I'll write it out phonetically for you before the broadcast. You'll have, and then we'll go rehearse. You and I will go rehearse like on Thursday or Friday, and then you'll have it ready to go.
All right. I appreciate the fact that you're very consistent.
I am consistent.
And what you're putting there is really good players that have great value. And I'm into that. I mean, I think that's important. I think that's great. I think you don't go wrong. It's kind of the old saying, you know, you won't go broke making a profit. You don't go wrong drafting really good football players because you need them.
And by the way, with me talking up Trask, and I like Mac Jones too. Sorry, I'm not joining the herd mentality of, you know, the quarterback who can only win from the pocket is becoming a dying breed.
No.
That will never go out of style.
How much concern do you have? Like, I have less concern when people say, well, you know, you didn't play at a high, the kid from Zach Wilson, his, you know, he didn't play at a high enough level, like Josh Allen, not a high enough level of competition, or a guy, you know, like Trey Lance, so smaller school, you know, less competition. Like, how much concern should we put in the fact that Alabama, position by position, you know, their third wide receiver is better than your first corner every weekend? Like, when you got, hey, not one, but two first-round wide receivers on your roster. You got a couple first-round offensive linemen on your roster. You got a first-round running back on your roster. Like, should we downgrade the quarterback? Like, oh, he's so smart. Well, maybe he is smart, but when you're always wide open. See, one thing I know, having talked to a lot of quarterbacks that went from the college game to the professional game, what is wide open in pro football is completely covered in college football. You don't throw it. And it's really hard to change that mindset when you have a window that's, you know, that's the width of two footballs and that's considered wide open. You pull the trigger. In college, you're like, nah, let me go to the guy that's just, let me go to my check down that gets me 40 yards, or let me just go to somebody else. Like, there's a big difference. And then, oh, by the way, you're protected. You know you can go to, you know if number one looks a little bit covered, I can hold on to the ball, go to number two, go to number three, and I'm going to be protected. It doesn't work that way in professional football.
We are giving away a free copy on PlayStation or Xbox of MLB The Show 21. All you have to do to enter is to register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news, columns, game recaps, and more. You can sign up now at denverfan.com and be in the running to win MLB The Show 21, now out on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. Fun for hardcore or casual baseball fans. You can play all 162 games or just drop in for the biggest moments to the postseason. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. Again, go to denverfan.com. And get yourself signed up and registered to win. Good luck. Four Down Territory is coming up next. And what Peter King, the very well-respected Peter King, has the Broncos doing in his one and only mock draft, we'll share that with you next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Lance will throw on third and 23. Steps up. He will run. Lance to the 40, to the 35, to the 30. Lance, 20, 15, 10, 5. Try it there, baby. He scores on third and 23. The Walter Payton Award winner to the house.
North Dakota State Radio. Could those be the kind of highlights we see Trey Lance making a Bronco uniform? Peter King seems to think so. He did his one and only mock draft for his Football Morning in America column. And at number 9, he had the Broncos staying put and getting Trey Lance. I'm starting to believe, Mark, that for people who want the Broncos to draft a quarterback, unless they move up, the only guy that will be available for them to take would be Trey Lance.
So you're telling me that you think people, I just don't buy that. You think football teams will pass on the promise of potential. That's what you're saying.
If San Francisco takes Mac Jones, yeah, because here's what I think will happen. I think that the asking price of moving from 10, 11, 12, you know, the Patriots have been talked about at 15, up to, let's say, number 7, it's just going to be viewed to be too much. So they may like a guy like Lance, but they'll just be, I don't trust him enough. He's not a sure enough thing to justify the capital we're going to give up. So I could see him sliding to the Patriots, to the Broncos at 9. I think he's the only guy, honestly, because I think if Mac Jones goes in the top 10, it's only to San Francisco. It's just because Kyle just sees something. Otherwise, if he doesn't go to San Francisco at 3, I think he drops out of the top 10.
So even if he was sitting there?
I don't think that...
You don't think the Broncos would take him at 9?
I don't think he would. I think that Peyton, armed with a 6-year contract, would not be able to resist the allure of the potential of Trey Lance. And by the way, I'm basing this on the idea I think Fields will already be gone. Do you get the sense? I get the sense that Fields started out like his stock was super high, then it kind of dipped, but now it's starting to kind of swing back up again.
Yeah, I get the sense that Fields is a kind of a wild card in this, in that people try to knock him down early because they really liked him. Like, there's almost a disinformation campaign.
Right, right.
It was like, well, yeah, the epilepsy stuff, you know? And and he doesn't study, and, you know? And so I almost feel like he is kind of almost a linchpin. And frankly, I don't know who San Francisco is going to take, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Fields. Wouldn't shock me at all. Just, I don't have... This is what's intriguing about the draft. I, like you, and everybody else in the company, no idea. I mean, you think you know, but you're not 100% sure.
I'll give George Payton, I'll give San Francisco a lot of credit. Because we've never seen George Payton go through a draft yet, nobody can read him.
Right.
So it's fascinating, because I got no idea. I have no idea. And anybody who thinks they do, anybody thinks that they have read George Payton at this point, is lying. Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
So how about our very own Nate Jackson writing for DenverFan.com about why these off-season workouts, phase one, phase two, are important and that the players shouldn't be missing them. He wrote for it at DenverFan.com and got picked up by Peter King and appears in Peter King's big national column today. Sorry, it's right there. Right. You know, Nate Jackson writing for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. I think it's awesome.
Appreciate the shout out there, Peter King.
I think it's awesome. And great job, obviously, by Nate Jackson. And he's 100% right. Like, it does matter. Like, the relational aspect of playing this game is important. And you don't develop the same relational aspect over a Zoom meeting than you do when you're face-to-face, when you're together, when you're sacrificing for one another. So, anyhow, I love...
Even if you're just lifting weights? I mean, you're doing serious bonding while you're just...
Oh, yeah.
Picking things up and putting them down?
Yeah, absolutely. You're giving each other grief. You're encouraging one another. You're pushing one another. You're getting... Come on. When you work with a partner who's intense, right? Don't you, like... The guy that I used to work out with when I was in college, because he wasn't a great lifter, and I was really good at lifting. He wasn't a great lifter. That wasn't his strong suit. But that dude would go out and train and run and do all that. So we worked out together. I pushed his butt in the weight room to get him stronger, and he made me do the stuff outside the weight room that I didn't want to do. Right.
Well, That's important.
And, you know, you learn about the importance of hoodies.
If I see a guy without a hoodie on, you know, I'm going to let him know. You know, you better get a hoodie on.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. Orlando Brown, who was forced to play left tackle because of an injury this past season, absolutely dominated at the position. This is massive for the Kansas City Chiefs. The rich get richer here, and the Baltimore Ravens now are going to have to find a massive replacement 1 year after losing Marshall Yonda as well.
That's Pat McAfee talking about the blockbuster Orlando Brown trade that went down, where the Chiefs gave up. Let's see. They gave up quite a bit. Okay, so Chiefs sent a first, third, and fourth round picks this year and a fifth next year for Orlando Brown, plus a second round pick this year and a sixth next year. Remember when the Chiefs didn't have any offensive linemen and we were like, hey, as of right now, the Broncos have the best offensive line in the AFC West? How about the way that they have rebounded? They've got Orlando Brown to play left tackle, Joe Tooney to play left guard, Austin Blythe to play center, Kyle Long coming out of retirement to play right guard, and Mike Remmers at right tackle.
Yeah, and Kyle Long, remember, if you go back through Kyle Long's career, Kyle Long spent a season or two in Chicago at right tackle as well. How many draft picks did they give up? Their first rounder is like 30-something or 31, right?
Right. They gave up, obviously, a late first-round pick, plus a third and a fourth this year.
Uh-huh.
And a fifth next year for Orlando Brown, plus a second-round pick this year, which will be late second round.
They gave up a second round,
and
too?
A sixth next year. Baltimore did. So the Chiefs get Orlando Brown and a second-round pick and a sixth next year.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, yeah. So basically, really, you're just giving them the first-rounder for Orlando, because you're getting a second, but you're giving a third, and you're giving you really gave up a first and a fourth.
Right.
Right, because the second and the third.
Right.
The second and the sixth kind of swap out with
correct.
Third and the,
right,
and,
right,
the
right.
and the fifth.
Right.
So... Would you give up for a Pro Bowl tackle? Would you give up number 31 and a fourth round pick?
Duh.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, understand this too. Orlando, third down and six, you're coming from a system where third down and six is a running down in Baltimore. Now, I'm not saying that Orlando isn't a really good player, because he is, but I'm just saying there's going to be a little different, atmosphere there in KC.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Mayfield play action fake. Drifts back. Throws end zone. Caught. Landry's got it. And he's got it for a touchdown.
Browns radio. The Browns have picked up the fifth year option on the contract of Baker Mayfield. In 2022, he'll make almost $19 million. Do you think... Shades of Patrick Mahomes, do you think they work out a deal long term?
Showtime!
For Baker Mayfield, you know, paying him north of $30 million a year. Do you think they do that prior to that fifth year kicking in? Or is this just buying them time because they're not really sure?
I think they will work on a deal for Baker Mayfield. A long-term deal that essentially, like, very much like what they did in KC, really buys them 3 years, 2 or 3 years, where he's really making less money than he would on that fifth-year option. So from a cap standpoint.
So you think they're prepared to pay him $35 million a year?
I think they will be, yeah.
Yeah?
I do.
Well, if you look at the dreck that has come through Cleveland at the quarterback position for the last two decades plus,
I understand
why they'd be like, hey, listen, I don't want to go through that again. Let's just pay the guy.
One, I think he's grown up. I think he's matured quite a bit. And two, from a football understanding standpoint, that guy is a, like, when you talk to Baker Mayfield, he knows his business. He's a sharp kid. And he's got a chip, man. He will put you on a list.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to end up on the Baker list. By the way.
Yeah.
Is this, if I didn't know better.
Uh-huh.
I'd say I'm hearing that you're admitting you were wrong about Baker Mayfield.
I was wrong.
No, not wrong about Baker Mayfield. You had to grow up.
I was wrong.
Second year, he wasn't very good.
Come on, Fonz. Come on, Stink. Bet you were wrong.
Right. Plus, that roster is loaded.
Now that's a good roster.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if the Broncos, Pro Football Focus, are the sixth best roster in football, but I will agree that Cleveland's is definitely top six. That'll do it for 4Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Wright joins us. All right. We're down to the nitty gritty. He had the Broncos trading up to get Justin Fields. Does he still believe strongly that they'll do that? Troy joins us next. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider. As always, he's presented by ROX, Rock, Heating, and Air. Good morning, Troy. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing awesome. You ready to break up the Rockies or write an apology letter to Jeff Bridich? Which one? Or both?
Yeah. They're going to win games at home. Let me see them win a game on the road before we start talking about avoiding 100 losses. Credit to them. They compete. They're resilient. They're the only team in Major League history that can sweep a homestand and have no momentum when they go on the road. So I've seen this, Mark. I've covered it.
That's good. Yeah. That's harsh, but true.
Right?
Very apropos. Yes, whatever they may have done, they are 0-6 on the road right now. Here we are. Draft week is upon us. Last week you put out a mock draft. You predicted that the Broncos would move up from 9 to 7 to select Justin Fields. Based on things that you've heard and reported on over the weekend, anything changing? Any new info, new perspective that you can share?
Well, it's becoming clear if they want Fields specifically, they're probably going to have to move up. There's just enough teams interested if he starts to slide. I don't know that they could sit there at 9. You know, perhaps Lance would be there. It's between Lance and Mac Jones for the 49ers from everyone I talked to, with obviously people leaning toward Jones, but I think both are still in play from my sources at 3. And between Lance and Fields, they'll slide down a little bit, but I don't see any situation necessarily. I couldn't trust, if I were the Broncos, to stay at 9 and get Fields. And that's what I can't seem to gauge. I mean, as much as I try to get at that, how aggressive would they be to move up? George Payton doesn't like to lose picks. It's pretty clear. If you look at the history of Minnesota, they grab, you know, they add picks. They don't typically surrender them. But quarterback's in play until it's not. And if Mac Jones slides, let's say the Patriots move up to 7 and they take Josh Fields and Mac Jones is sitting there. Would they take Mac Jones? I mean, I know they have interest in Mac Jones. He has better value at 9 and certainly he would have at 3 for me. But quarterback can play until it's not. And that's the most fascinating thing. This is the most volatile first round of a draft I have ever covered. And I think it's my 10th or 11th draft I've covered.
All right. So the three quarterbacks that potentially could be available after the Jets pick, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields. Can you rank them 1 through 3 about the way the Broncos actually feel about those guys?
Yeah, that's the hard part. If you're saying they want the best fit, try to win this year challenge and in a Pat Shurmur offense, maybe it's Mac Jones. I just don't think you would ever make a decision like that based on your current offensive coordinator, who might not be here after next year in terms of Mac Jones. I like the player. I do. I just see the ceiling like 3 inches above his helmet right now. And if I'm taking him because he could fit Pat Shurmur's offense, that to me doesn't make a lot of sense when you're trying to solve long-term issues for the Broncos. I think they would favor Fields slightly above Lance just because he's so much more polished. If you're talking about a guy that you want to get off the bus for the other team to see first, that's Trey Lance. But he is extremely raw. I mean, there's just no way around it. He played 17 college games against inferior competition, at least for him. The toughest game he played was James Madison. And last year he played one game in an exhibition game. He's just going to need time, a redshirt year. So if I had to order him, I would think, again, this is at the hard part to gauge. I would put Fields slightly above Jones and then Lance third. But, again, this is a crazy draft with these three. People are all over the map with them. And can the Broncos afford a redshirt year, like for Lance? Can they afford, you know, if they get Fields, is he competition for Drew Lock? There's just so many weird questions that we normally don't have in a draft in the top 10.
Visiting with Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. Mark has a hate-hate relationship with Pro Football Focus, so you can imagine his reaction when Pro Football Focus ranked all NFL rosters and had the Broncos roster sixth in the entire NFL, ahead of teams like Baltimore and the Rams and Seattle.
The Saints.
You're covering this team constantly. You're immersed in this team. Is this a good roster? Is this a better roster than it's given credit for?
Well, on paper, defensively, it's a better roster. They're good. And offensively, they have a chance to improve because they were so young last year. I can't see, and I use Pro Football Focus for some stuff. I don't use it as much as I used to because I just felt like I just didn't need it as much since I switched to TV. It was different, whatever. There's no way they're a top 10 roster right now. And if they are a top 10 roster, then if they're anything less than 11 wins, the coaches should be fired. I mean, what are we talking about? I watched this team last year. If they were a top 10, even close to that last year, I watch red zone. I watch games all the time. To me, they were probably right where their record was, you know, 23 down in terms of the roster. The problem they have when you, let's say if you evaluate it in a vacuum that they are a top 10 roster, they don't play complementary football. And what people forget about this is they keep talking about this is going to be a top 5 defense, a top 10 defense. They've had 33 takeaways in the past 2 years. Vic Fangio's last defense in Chicago had 36. If the offense can't play with a lead or keep the game even, it neutralizes your defense. You can't be a great defense if your offense is constantly trailing in the game. It's a turnover-averse league. So I can't see that. With all due respect to Pro Football Focus, those guys put in the time. I can't go there. I can't. Top 15, maybe, and that then hinges squarely on significantly better quarterback play. You can't be a top 6 roster and then have the quarterback play they had last year. That is like the weighted graded final in college. If your quarterback play stinks, that's like 35-40% of your grade. You can't be a top 6 roster then.
Schlereth 1, excuse me for a second, Mickey 0. All right. Hey, what about, we had Rex Ryan on last week, and Rex Ryan said, we know that Vic Fangio can be a great coordinator when he has great talent. He's proven that in his days in San Francisco, his days in Baltimore, although I think he was a linebacker coach in Baltimore, but his days in San Francisco and his days in Chicago. Is it time for Vic Fangio to put a top 5 defense on the football field right now and start creating those turnovers?
Well, I think he showed last year he could be more creative. He blitzed way more last year than we expected. I think he reached the conclusion, as we all did, that this offense is struggling to score 20 points a game. We can't sit around and wait and try to win 17-14 in the modern NFL. I thought Vic, in some ways, there's brilliance in what Vic does because they were so injured. I understand that. But no Vaughn and a revolving door at cornerback, he keeps teams competitive. But they still allowed 30 straight points in four straight games for the first time since 1968. So let's just pump the brakes on how good this Broncos team was last year. I watched them just get their ears boxed by any team that was any good, and they got smothered and just crushed by the Raiders in Vegas, embarrassed. So, yes, it's time. It's time for the defense. If this is the defense they gave Vic Fangio, I think George Payton's given him a fair shot by keeping Vaughn and by keeping Kareem Jackson. You got a rising star in Draymond Jones. You're going to have your best secondary he's had, the best secondary they've had since 2016. It's time for those guys to step up and make plays and try to win some games defensively. But you can't win 10, 11, 12 games if your offense doesn't score 24, 25 points a game in the current NFL. I don't want to hear an argument about the 2015 team. That team, the defense scored 6 touchdowns. The defense would have been their second-best offensive player last year. Those defenses, those are outliers. There's a reason we talk about that defense like it's in the top 5 best ever. You can't look at that as the model of, oh, we get the 15 defense. No, no, no. Just have a really good defense that shortens the field consistently. Play good special teams so you're not losing in the margins. Like that's what I'm saying. They've got to do a lot of things better to get the 10-11 wins. But I think Vic's going to have the talent, if they're healthy, to do some special things on a weekly basis because they have a pass rush that should be able to complement their secondary.
Troy, last topic. I think Michael Malone could run Millennial Ben out to play guard, and the Nuggets would still play with a lot of guts and pride and resiliency. But at some point, does it become too insurmountable? Now take Will Barton out of the mix for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, they're depth tested. Now you got Rivers going to have to play. You got, you know, Dozier's in there. Yeah, they got to just, you know, tie a knot and hang on here for these next couple of weeks. Hope you get Barton back. I mean, hamstrings are typically three-week injuries in basketball. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's just that hamstrings are the worst thing for basketball when you're stopping and cutting and accelerating. But, yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, Porter Jr. and Jokic are playing out of their mind, and they can keep them in games, but they're going to need to get a guard back between Barton and Morris. I mean, unless Rivers or the other – I can't even think of the other guy that's playing right now, too, the fourth guy in that rotation. But once you get to the playoffs, they got to get one of those guys between Barton and Morris healthy or something resembling healthy.
All right, Troy, great stuff. Thank you.
See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up here in just a little minute, a minute or two. Quick reaction on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Vic is so overrated. Pat Shurmur's a jag. Just another guy. Hopefully the new GM will clean house and hire a legit staff after this lame duck season. You think this is lame duck?
I think it depends on, I mean, I think a lot depends on the development of whoever plays quarterback. I'm assuming it's going to be Drew Lock. And where they, I mean, where they sit. You know, I mean, I don't know. Is there a place you can go find the rankings of how special teams units fared? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Oh, who's the guy? Benny, look it up. Rick Goslin. Dallas Morning News always puts together like the preeminent, like to the point where teams study it. He puts together the preeminent special teams rankings every year.
Okay. So, I mean, I would say one thing that you would always look at when you know your depth of roster is good is how good is your special teams unit? Where do you rank amongst others? And some teams like New England, they'll play starters on every special teams unit. It's part of the program. They want their best players out there. But I think you find a lot about depth out, and you find a lot about just about a team's overall athleticism and kind of football understanding by how they rank and how they play special teams wise. And last time I checked, last several years here, it's not been good. Right? This special teams has been abysmal.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.